Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
For hot water that never runs out, go tankless with Navien tankless water heaters. Save money, save space. So Nick Nurse has only been coaching in the NBA for 3 years. Fascinating story, but he's already won a championship and already been coach of the year. He won championships in the D-League. He's coached the Canadian national team. He coached in Europe forever. And as the game gets more international, he knows international basketball, so he can help with scouting with his team and opinions there. Super smart guy, and he is now joining us live, Raptors head coach. So, you know, it is interesting. We were just talking about this earlier today. Michael Jordan would face, you know, he had Tony Kukoc. There was an occasional European player, but now they're among the best players in the league. Giannis and Luka, and the Joker just won the MVP. And, you know, I watched Luka, and I'm like, okay, how is he this gifted at 22 years old? Like, this doesn't make any sense at all. He plays like a 32-year-old. And I said to the other day we said on the air is that Dallas cannot just worry about the draft. They have to get him a guy ready to win now. He's too mature. You spent 11 years over in Europe. Why are the European players often a little more skilled earlier than our guys? Luka doesn't even look like a 22-year-old.
Yeah, the only thing I can say on that, Colin, is I visited, I'd go to Lithuania and visit some of those basketball schools. You know, Šarūnas Marcelionis had a little school, and I remember seeing a whole gym full of 9, 10, and 11-year-olds, and they were all playing pick and roll, both parts of it. They were both picking and rolling and dribbling and passing and shooting, going from basket to basket to basket. And I was thinking, man, that's interesting. These long, lanky 9, 10, 11-year-olds are playing the total game. That's the only thing I could say, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it works. So when you look, you know the Eastern Conference very well and the Western Conference. I want to talk West first. So Phoenix Suns have Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul is the most underrated player in the NBA. Awesome. Perhaps in my lifetime. He's not glamorous. He doesn't dunk. He's not highly vertical. But you have a player like Kyle Lowry that shares some of those skills in that it's hard to quantify intelligence and feel for the game and intensity. And when I watch Chris Paul, take me, because Lowry's got some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What do fans in the media not see with like a Lowry or a Chris Paul? What do I not see that matters?
Well, I don't know if you don't see it or not, but first thing is toughness. He's as tough as he comes. Same with Kyle. As tough as he comes, he's gonna guard guys a lot bigger and stronger. He's gonna block out guys a lot bigger and stronger. They're gonna compete at all times. And I think that one of the big things too with Chris Paul is I really feel like he has such a good grip on the game. And when his team needs a bucket, he goes and gets him one. He doesn't overdo it, but when they need a big bucket or when they need something important, he'll do it. And he'll do it a lot of fourth quarter scoring. Just, you know, that 15 to 17 footers on autopilot, and that's a pretty nice weapon to have when you're that tough and smart at the same time.
You know, it's interesting. Everybody loves the 3-point shot, and as a math equation, analytically it works, but then you have guys like Chris Paul and Kawhi who you coached whose mid-range games are Jordan-esque. Where do you, like, Kawhi is a great example. Hell, you can't stop his mid-range game. I know the math tells me he shouldn't shoot it, but when you got him for that short period of time, how did you reconcile that? The game's telling you shoot threes, and he's a great mid-range shooter.
Well, he's up there in the category of being so great at it. The math does almost equal out, Colin. That's one thing. And two, you got to get some buckets, and a lot of times that's your best shot. You can work it around and do all kinds of things to take a less contested more contested three. You'd rather have him taking that shot. I mean, he shoots it at that high percentage, and I think there's some other things that factor into it too. He draws fouls at that area. You know, like DeRozan's a great example of that. He'll shoot a lot of mid-rangers, but he'll also draw a lot of fouls from there too with the pump fakes and all that stuff, and that takes you into even a more analytical shot.
Nick Nurse, Raptors coach. So, you know, I was a little cynical on Brooklyn. I said, man, you're getting three of the top four offensive players in the game, three of the top five. Somebody is going to have to be the distributor at times, and Harden, to his credit, has said, okay, I'm going to take fewer shots, which is not always easy. Did you think Brooklyn, did you buy into it the first second, or did you have a little bit of, man, that's a lot of offense. These are unbelievable. Somebody's going to have to pass it occasionally. Take me into your mind when Brooklyn was assembled.
Well, I think that, certainly they were not only were they assembled. I think the guy getting the least amount of comments in this thing is Sean Marks. He's put together an unbelievable team, not only for getting these guys, the three. You know, KD is your possible to guard, that face-up size and shooting. Kyrie's ball skills and shooting as well are amazing. And then Harden does everything. He drives you downhill and draws the fouls and zings it out for what I call 100-mile-an-hour fastball jump shots for everybody else. But there's a lot of other guys on that team too. Blake Griffin looks amazing. Harris is awesome. They got some great size and some hard playing. I would call them hard playing defensive guys that are doing a role at a super high level.
Are you I've watched Milwaukee and it's the reality is, and this isn't years and years ago, Steve Nash played for the Suns and they were so difficult, Nick, to prepare for in the regular season. I mean, you play the night before, the Suns roll into town, Nash is going 1,000 miles an hour, but if I get to play a team, seven times in 15 days, could I make the argument with Milwaukee that you did a really good job? Not that you can completely marginalize him, but there is a way to play Giannis when you get to play him over and over that's easier than he comes into town. You're tired. I mean, I just watched Milwaukee, and I'm like, boy, I saw Nick Nurse do it. I watched Brooklyn do it. Milwaukee may be built more ideally for the regular season. Is that fair?
I don't know about that, Colin. I think that I think you're going to see them play a lot better here in Game 3. I do. I think, talking about Giannis, you don't really have much choice than to defend him the way we did a couple years ago, or the way these teams do. I mean, he's coming downhill with this incredible size, speed, strength, and you can't, unless you use two or three guys, there's nothing you can do, right? And he's going to have to deliver it out to the other guys, and they're going to have to make a good percentage of the threes that they take on his kickouts. That's it.
Yeah. Who do you see coming out of the West and why?
Whoa, man, I tell you what, it's a hard one. I think I could see anyone coming out that's left. I would say, listen, Quinn's a good friend of mine. We coached against each other in the D League/G League, so we go way back. I'm pulling for him. Obviously, he's going up against Kawhi and Coach Jeremy, another guy that worked for me there at the Clips, and I like T. Lou a lot too. So let's say one of those two.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that series, we'll say. And shoot, man, I love your argument too. I love Chris Paul too. So it's tough out there.
Yeah.
For sure.
By the way, when you watch all these teams, Brooklyn is built with trades. Milwaukee is mostly built organically through the draft. Toronto has generally, Kawhi's an exception. There's a lot of stuff you draft players, develop them. How do you, because LeBron's moved all over the league, and yet his teams generally have good chemistry. If I told you the perfect way to build a basketball team, because we're going to get into the free agency period here, what is the, you won your championship taking a guy, bringing him into your culture. What is the perfect way, if you could have the perfect way to build that championship metal toughness chemistry?
Well, I mean, you look at the way we did it, Colin, I think there was a lot of young player development there. We brought some guys like Freddie Van Fleet and Pascal Siakam.
Yep.
And we had a veteran guy in Kyle that was kind of like the leader and the core of that whole thing. And then we were obviously able to add, Kawhi, Danny, and even Gasol midseason, some guys that had been deep down the road and done it before, to a kind of youthful, up-and-coming group of guys that were, you know, I would say our core of our team. So it seemed to work for us. I don't know. There's a lot of way. I think there's a lot of different paths to get there, Colin. I really do. It was a good, it was a good way for us to do it though.
By the way, you've been in basketball for 25 years. This is the most talent I've ever seen in the NBA. Would you agree with that?
Well, it sure seems like the offensive talent's through the roof, right? I just, it just like, I hear you giving your lists of top 10 best players, and you're getting to some really good guys that, that you're having a hard time squeezing in the top 10, right? There's every night out, it seems like there's one or two, sometimes three, depending on the team you're playing, guys that you're shaking in your head thinking, man, how are we going to guard these guys? How many schemes do we have to put together? How many different matchups are we going to have to throw at these guys? And I guess the only thing I ever say is even the teams with all the great guys, they can only one of them can shoot it each time up the floor.
Right. Absolutely.
So you got to guard that guy the best. You got to guard that guy the best, whoever's going to shoot at that time, right?
He's already got a title, a Coach of the Year award, Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse, one of the good guys. So nice to see you again. Have a nice, fairly brief offseason. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Colin. Appreciate you, man.
You bet. See, he watches our show. He's talking about our list, by the way. It is. The talent is indisputable. Once you include the pool to be Latvia and Croatia, the talent right now is insane in the NBA. There is a fairly explainable leadership void, which is we're bringing these kids in at 19. If you're a 19-year-old kid and you walked into Fox, well, you think you're going to lead the team? I mean, you got old guys like me, been around forever. So it's very difficult when a kid comes out of 1 year of college. Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga, 1 year of college, he'll go pro. And he'll go to a bad team, and he'll be the best player or the second best player for a year, and then like 2 years in, he'll be the best player. But it's hard for 19-year-olds to literally run the franchise.
Well, I don't even know how new that is. Like, there's not that many players who have gone straight from high school. There's obviously been a lot of one-and-done guys, but there's not that many players who have gone straight from high school to the pros. And even when they walked in, they weren't expected to be leaders. They might have been stars,
right?
But not necessarily leaders of the organization. I think it's actually similar to the NFL in a lot of ways. We're seeing a lot of guys come in very skilled very early, and they're just, the coaching is better at the younger ages now. They have,
I mean, Trae Young feels like a leader. Trae Young has taken the, I mean, that's what you're asking a lot.
But I mean, he's been in the league for a while, like not a long time, but like he's not a rookie.
But
you know?
he's
some time.
He is embraced. It's my team.
Yeah.
I'll be front and center. I'll get it. There's some real value there. Trae Young's what, 24?
He's very young, yeah.
And he is, no question, he is the soul of the team.
I would say John Morant has stepped into that role very quickly.
No question. It's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, how old is Trae Young? He's 22.
Yeah.
Now think about that.
And you say
you cannot rent a car at 22.
Yeah, we're very unfair when it comes to sports.
Trae Young can't rent a car in Atlanta. He runs the Hawks.
Me at 22 is not ready to run a.
I was pulling fire extinguishers in college houses. I mean, I was doing stupid stuff. I was an idiot. And now, you know, finally I've come into my own.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Do you suffer from a lead foot? Goosebumps appear for no reason? Stop living with uninspired performance. Go to mbusa.com/AMG, Mercedes AMG Driving Performance. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
All right, we love our lists. NFL writer Bill Barnwell recently released his rankings of the best and worst 2021 offseason. So let's do the five best first.
Okay, so this is, Bill knows this stuff. Okay.
Here's the five best.
Okay.
Buccaneers won, brought back their entire, almost their entire Super Bowl roster. Patriots re-signed Cam and drafted Mac Jones. Yeah. Chargers, Corey Linsley, Matt Feeler, and drafted Rashawn Slater. So beef up the offensive line. The Ravens signed Sammy Watkins. They added Alejandro Villanueva and Kevin Zeitler to their both offensive tackles. And Washington signed Curtis Samuel, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and William Jackson. People are so high on Washington's offseason. I don't understand it.
Now, I do think they'll make the playoffs, but I do not believe that Washington's in the top five. I will say this.
I think the Cowboys are going to be better than Washington. They have a great defense, but...
Buccaneers, Chargers, Ravens, you're going to get no arguments. I think Patriots, Washington, too high. And the bottom is?
The bottom is the Falcons, Keanu Neal, Alex Mack, and Julio Jones gone.
Okay.
Texans, Deshaun Watson drama. The Steelers let Bud Dupree and Mike Hilton leave in free agency. Okay. Their O-line is a mess, and he's not high on the Najee Harris pick.
Okay.
Obviously, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers and then the Raiders.
Okay, here's my two big disagreements. Cleveland literally solved their secondary.
Yeah, I would have Cleveland much higher.
I would go Bucks 1, Browns 2, Chargers 3, Ravens 4, I don't care 5. How can you put Atlanta in the worst when they drafted potentially the greatest player in the draft and they bring an offensive coach to Matt Ryan? So I'll make a prediction. The Falcons will be much improved. So I would get the Falcons off the worst list, and I would I don't buy New England, Washington. How do you not have Cleveland? Cleveland literally solved their back-end issues.
I would certainly have Cleveland higher than Washington.
Bucks, Browns, Chargers, Ravens.
Listen, it's no disrespect, but people are so high on Ryan Fitzpatrick there. I get that their defense is amazing, but even if you just look around that division, like my only real question mark is Philadelphia, but like Washington, you have Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback. Like Dak Prescott is coming back. I think the Giants are going to be much better. It's just strange. So speaking of the Steelers, starting quarterback position in Pittsburgh is up in the air after this season, apparently. Mason Rudolph wants everyone to know that he is ready to take over for the Steelers.
No way.
I think, that's my goal, is to be a starting quarterback in this league and for our team. And I'm working towards that goal every single day. And I can only control myself and the way I prepare and the way I approach and play in OTAs and in camp. And that's on the forefront of my mind. You know, I'm not worried about 22 or anything like that. I'm trying to live in the moment and be the best I can for my team.
All right. Bunch of word salad. I've seen enough of him. Nice kid. Probably great parents. He's not the future.
Well, he played 10 games and started in 8 of them in 2019. Right. 13 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Yeah,
like, that's a very big sample size for a team that was good and just lost the starting quarterback.
Okay, so he's been here 3 years, right? Okay, anybody ever see one report? Mason Rudolph zipping through the air and practice.
Oh, we've seen plenty of Mason Rudolph. Like, he's not the future of the Steelers. So LeBron is reportedly changing his number from 23 to 6 next season.
All right.
The change is expected to come after Space Jam: A New Legacy, which will be released next month. Started his career with 23, wore 6 in the Heat, and switched back to 23 when he returned to the Cavs. He still has, at least as of March 12th, he has the number one selling jersey. Luka is second. Then Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Giannis, Kyrie, Anthony Davis, Jason Tatum, James Harden, and Zion Williamson is 10th in the most popular jerseys. So he's probably going to stay up there.
So where's...
Anthony Davis is going to stay with number 3 because he wore 23 with the Pelicans.
So Ja Morant's not in there?
As of March 12th, no.
Trae Young's not in there. Well, Trae, he started really
hitting.
They
are in much smaller markets. I mean, Atlanta's not a small market, but it's not a traditional
I'm surprised
NBA
Giannis
powerhouse.
Sells that many jerseys.
His
game isn't...
He is a two-time MVP.
Yeah, but that's this year. I mean, you'd think everybody that wanted a Giannis jersey already bought it.
Well, I mean, how many people wanted a LeBron jersey that didn't already get
well,
it?
Well, but he's still...
I don't know about that because Tom Brady always has like a top selling jersey in merchandise.
Well, look at
the Patriots.
Look at the names here. These are a lot of cool guys. Giannis, yeah. Okay, I mean LeBron. There's a cool factor to KD and Steph and Kyrie, Tatum, Harden, Zion. I'm surprised Zion's only 10. I would buy Zion's over. Giannis doesn't have much of a coolness. He's small market.
Giannis is a small market, but he's still 2-time MVP. Like he's
yeah.
He's pretty popular. And Zion, again, it's a smaller market in New Orleans.
Well, now, why isn't Embiid on there? He's a big personality. I think this merch list is screwed up.
No, I didn't make the list. It's not an opinion. This is what people are buying.
Embiid's not on there? By the way, Dame Lillard's not on there? This list is stupid.
Is this
an accurate list?
It's since March 12th. A couple months ago.
Sales at JCPenney? Seriously. So,
Trae Young is 14th, Westbrook was 15th, and Lillard is 12th.
I don't even get this list. I don't even understand
it. This is what people are buying, though.
I thought people bought cool players' jerseys. Damian Lillard's not on there?
So, Jimmy Butler's 11, Damian Lillard's 12, Kawhi Leonard, Trae Young, and Russell Westbrook. So, Trae Young has the 14th best-selling jersey.
Embiid's nowhere in the top 15.
I don't see it.
He's a huge personality. I don't understand it. And it's a huge market.
Buy more Embiid jerseys, guys.
All right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, in honor of graduation season for high schools and all that stuff, we thought we would do our NBA superlatives. Cutest couple, biggest flirt in the NBA.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Summer's here. Get active. Shed some pounds. M-Drive Boost and Burn. Go to mdriveformen.com. Free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Well, in honor of graduations happening around the country, Joy, we're handing out some superlatives for the NBA playoffs today and best for last. Joy?
Did you ever win any superlatives?
A personality thing in high school, maybe.
Yeah. I won most athletic.
Boom. Soccer track star.
And volleyball.
Boom.
And basketball.
You like.
And I was homecoming queen.
What? How many people went to this little school?
I peaked in high school. We had a lot of kids, actually.
Did you win all that in high school?
Yeah, I did.
How big was your high school?
We had 2,000 kids.
And you won all of those?
Well, I mean, for my senior class.
Yeah, but your senior class had 600 people. And you won all. You
400. Yeah. I was really nice in high school.
Either you were unbelievable or you had a bunch of losers in your class. You won every award.
Class 104. All right. Which team is most likely to succeed? Jazz, Suns, Bucks, or Nets?
Most likely to succeed would be the Nets. Joy, first team in NBA history to miss, have an MVP winner miss the game, James Harden, and win a playoff game by over 35 points. That's never happened in the history of the league, so yeah. We have to admit they're probably most likely to succeed.
Which NBA duo is the cutest couple? Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, Kawhi and Paul George, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, or LeBron and Anthony Davis?
Lot of cuties there. I'm going to go Chris Paul, Devin Booker.
Yeah, I like it too.
Do you know that, first of all, they're both all-stars. Booker's four games with 30-plus points in his first seven career playoff games. You're getting into Wilt territory. And I think they complement each other well. One is a brilliant natural scorer, and one can score, but is a great setup guy. They complement each other perfectly. One is the savvy vet, in-your-face, loud, and the other is the brilliant artist. Perfect couple.
They're awesome together. Who is the most dramatic player, LeBron, Luka, or Chris Paul?
LeBron could open up his own drama school. Let's be honest about this. These shoulders were built for a reason. If I have to carry this team, you just lost in the first round. Your shoulders, they've been strong forever. You've been whacked in multiple finals. Come on, LeBron, I love you, but come on.
Which team had the best transformation? Bucks, Nets, or Suns?
Suns. I mean, they had the worst record in the league for five straight years before Chris Paul with all the same dudes. And the other thing I like about the Suns, part of this transformation that nobody talks about, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges combined to miss just six games all year. So even the good teams, a lot of their stars took it off because veteran players condensed schedule. These guys play together. And so their chemistry, when you get into a tough series, that's where chemistry becomes crucial. Their chemistry is lights out.
Yeah, Monty's done an amazing job there. Which player is most likely to drop out and switch teams next season? Kawhi, Chris Paul, or Dennis Schroeder?
What if this was a real award in your almanac? Wouldn't that be terrible? Most likely kid to drop out. I'll say Dennis Schroeder, 0-for-9 in that big game.
Yeah.
There was already rumors Lakers had thought about moving him. He's going to go for the big bucks. I think he has value. He's inconsistent, but I think he has good value. But I think he wants too much money, and I think they're going to move him.
Which freshman player is having the best performance in their first playoff appearance? Trae Young, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, or John Morant?
Let's go Trae Young, because he's what he's doing is what never happens. He's great on the road. He's going right after people. A lot of times, you know, we talked about the bubble last year. Why were young teams so good in the bubble? There were no fans. And young teams often wilt when you get them on the road. Trae Young
He totally leans into it.
Oh, he completely leans into it. 29-10. And you can really feel he's the soul of the franchise. He plays with confidence. So they play with confidence. So I would say best freshman's Trae Young.
Oh, that's a good one. Which player has been the biggest disappointment? Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Julius Randle.
Well, Anthony's the best player, so I'd say Anthony because we have such high expectations. Julius Randle, we couched all of our expectations with this team's about defense. With Anthony, I think it all started when he came into the season out of shape. And he just never got right. His body never got right. And so I think there needs to be a come to Jesus meeting inside the Laker facility this year. Dude has got to get in shape. LeBron's got a couple big years left. You can't come into these seasons out of shape. You got to be playing 38 minutes. LeBron's got to be playing 28.
Yeah, he's under contract for years. Like, obviously what you're doing in the offseason is not working. Which player has missed the most in the postseason?
We missed the
has
most.
Been missed the most, yes. Steph Curry, Zion Williamson, or LaMelo Ball?
I would say Steph Curry. He's fun. I mean, let's be honest about Steph Curry. There is a flair. The television ratings indicate he is actually the number one draw in the league, not LeBron. If you look at television ratings, it's Steph, not LeBron. He and Michael are the only players to win an NBA scoring title at age 33 or older. So his game has aged really well. Smart and great shooting age well.
Which player has been the best transfer to a new team? Drew Holiday, Chris Paul, or Russell Westbrook?
I always feel bad for kids that have to transfer, like military kids coming to a high school. That's got to be tough.
I was homeschooled until my junior year.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot about you today.
It's kind of a fake homeschool because I played sports at the school, so I kind of knew a lot of the kids there, so wasn't totally new.
Favorite transfers, Chris Paul. Do you know he's the only player with 100-plus assists to three different teammates? And I always find it remarkable with Chris Paul. He goes to these new teams. Oklahoma City, it's all kids. New Orleans, all kids. Phoenix, all kids. First month, chemistry's great. What? It doesn't work that way. I mean, even LeBron needs a second year to win championships. Like, and that's with like Bosch and D. Wade and like Udonis Haslam and older players. Paul goes to all these teams with kids and they're instantly good. He's my favorite transfer. So you were homeschooled for your first two or three years.
No, I was homeschooled until my junior year.
So what's homeschool? Did you
homeschool?
Like your mom sit there and teach algebra?
Yeah.
Wow. And you listened.
I did not have an option.
Couldn't you cheat?
Off who?
Well, you just turn in your work, Google it, and...
No. We didn't have Google. I'm 34. I don't have Google.
There were no search engines?
We had encyclopedias. You go look it up in the encyclopedia. Go look it up in the dictionary.
Well, kids could... All right.
I remember getting my first computer. Thank you, though. That made me feel very young.
Man, I learned a lot about you. You know, you're Capricorn. Capricorns are very aspirational, but sometimes they keep stuff close to the vest.
Well, you know, you gotta have some strategy. I've definitely told you this before, but...
Have you?
Yeah, I think I told you the last time we had superlatives.
I don't know. It's really striking me in a weird tone today. Hey, you're still running your business on QuickBooks, more like quicksand. Change right now to NetSuite. One-of-a-kind financing programs are available. NetSuite.com/Herd, H-E-R-D. All right, well, we handed out awards today. We had Nick Nurse, Nick Wright, Greg Jennings, Weston McKennie. What a pleasure he was. The 22-year-old sensation for the United States men's national team. He's tough. He's a dog. He plays hard. He steals the ball. He's aggressive. He scores goals. I'm good for it. Speak for yourself. Is next.